If you would take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have a story out of the Bible this morning that's quite an amazing story, and I just want to share that with you this morning. This morning, I want to ask you a question before we start. As we fight the good fight, and you will see that every day as we look at the world around us that we realize we're in a spiritual battle for sure. But our first question is the cause worth the risk? We're going to think about that today. But it costs those that minister. You all have been a church plant for, over 10 years now? And I was thinking about this week, and there's when you start a church, there's a cost to it, isn't there? Is it worth the cost? Well, I think it is. The cost to minister. Well, is the cost worth the cause? Amen, it is. So Jehoshaphat had some people that were against him here in this chapter 20. And if you remember, if you know the church history, I mean our Bible history a little bit, he was the fourth king of Judah. His father was Asa, the third king. But he reigned for 35 years, and from 873 B.C. But we're going to look at what happens here, and it's an amazing story, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. Have you ever felt like people were against you? Have you ever felt like your back was against the wall? I mean, the odds were totally against you. Well, let me tell you something. When God shows up in your life, you're always in the majority. The odds are always in your favor when God is there. Many people sacrifice for God's kingdom when buildings are built. Do you know any churches that are building, thinking about building a building? It takes a sacrifice. The question has been, what does it take to reach people for the Lord Jesus? If it takes a building, then we build a building, right? That's what we do with God's help. If you're here today and you feel like things are going the wrong direction for you, or maybe even for the church, sometimes we get discouraged. This is a tremendous story out of the Word of God to encourage us this morning. Maybe this morning you're here and you've got some financial issues. Maybe you've got some things with your health that you're dealing with. Maybe it's in your family, your children. Does God have anything to say about those needs? Well, He does. Now, this morning I'm a little unusual. I'm not going to read the scripture, the whole. It's a long chapter, and for the sake of time, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But when you go home this evening, this afternoon, I'd like you to go back and read chapter 19 and 20 again during this week sometime. Let God speak to you again. But right now, let's bow in prayer together before we start this message. God. Lord Jesus, show us your heart today. Lord, we are your people. And Lord, we are desperate for you. We can't put our faith in pastors. We can't put our faith in anything but you. And so, Lord, I pray today that you'd speak to the hearts of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Look at verse 1, chapter 20. It says, it happened after this. Well, after what? Like I said, if you'd read before chapter 20, you would know that they had a great spiritual revival. And let me give you a fact. Here it is. Anytime you have a spiritual high, you will probably go through a spiritual low. The dove always seems to come before the devil. If you remember, Jesus was baptized, and the dove came, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And here in verse 1, the Bible says that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat and Judah. So three foes, three kings come against Jehoshaphat, and his back is against the wall. Look at verse 2. His advisors come to him and they're fearful, telling him there's a great multitude that is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and what are we going to do? Verse 3. So he was fearful, but he turned his heart toward God. He set himself to seek the Lord. Don't you wish our leaders would do that? Well, when your back is against the wall and no place to go, and you turn your heart toward God, you seek the Lord with all your heart, you have two choices. Here he had two choices. He could get intimidated by all these kings that are coming against him, or he could get motivated. And Jehoshaphat feared, but he chose to seek the Lord. Well, why did he choose to seek the Lord? Because he couldn't find him. Sometimes in your life you say, God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? And it says right here, he says this, I sought the Lord. I proclaimed a fast all throughout Judah. And he's afraid, and there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Did you know that? It's what are you going to do with the fear? Are you going to let it intimidate you, or are you going to let it motivate you? You may say, well, Pastor, I can't identify with Jehoshaphat, but see, you ought to. You have three enemies every day that you face. The Bible tells us that we have the world that we face every day that's against us. You have an enemy called the flesh, and you have an enemy called the devil. And these are always against you as God's children. And Jehoshaphat had three kings coming against him. And you have some options. And Jehoshaphat said this, I am turning my heart toward God. I'm calling for a fast of all of Judah. And we're going to believe God, even with the odds that are against us. I'd ask you this morning, are you serious with your spiritual commitment that you have this morning? God's not really interested in apathy this morning. He's interested in desperation. We live in a world that needs desperate measures. God's looking for some people like Jacob. You remember that he wrestled all night long with the Lord. Myrtle, I was thinking about that. I remember when God called us into the ministry, and you remember I shared that with you a couple weeks ago. But when God brings us to a place that we don't want to go, we wrestle sometimes. But the main thing is that we want the blessing of God. Right, Myrtle? She wanted the blessing. They wanted the blessing of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always easy. The decisions are not always easy. Now, if you know the scriptures, you remember the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7, there's a story there. And she wasn't Jewish, she was a Gentile. And she had heard about the Lord, and she had a daughter that was dying. And she asked the Lord to come to her house. And it might shock you what Jesus said to her. Jesus looked at this woman and he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Wow. Can you believe that Jesus said that? Can you imagine that? She could have just faded away. But notice what? She stiffened her neck. And she said to him, now this is really unusual because back then women didn't speak to men in public, period. And those that were not Jews did not speak to a rabbi, especially a Gentile, would go to a rabbi like Jesus who was well known. But she stiffened her neck and she looked at Jesus. She says, I know I'm a Gentile and you're Jewish. And your worship is different than ours. But you know what? You're right. You don't have the right to give the children's bread to the dogs. Well, she used the word there for dogs that meant back alley dogs. The dogs that were starving to death. She says, even the dogs take the crumbs from the table. And Jesus looked at her. Now, he knew what she was going to say before she said it, but he looked at her and says, woman, she says, I have not seen a faith like this in all of Israel. You just go home. And your daughter is well. And you know why? Because God doesn't move much in our lives without desperation. This woman was desperate. God honored her desperation. Are you desperate this morning for God's blessing in your life? And are you desperate for the church that you're going to see God move in a mighty way? Look at verse 3 and 4. He proclaimed a fast, and so Judah and Judas, so they all come. They come to what? To seek the Lord and ask for his help. And they came from all over Judah. See, we don't change. My former pastor down in Florida, Ken Witten, he was a wonderful pastor, and he licensed us to the ministry back in 2000. He's retired now, but he said this many times. He said, you don't change when you see the light. You change when you feel the heat. And you're never going to change until your pain is greater than your fear of change. That's true. I've done a lot of counseling over the years. I love Christian counseling, and I think it can, you know, because the Holy Spirit can use it, and the framework is important, the biblical framework. But when the pain gets intense enough, when it passes your fear of change, that's when people change. I've learned people don't change very easily. It takes God. It takes desperation. Friends, we need to get desperate seeking God like that woman. God wants to know if you're really interested in what's going on here. Number one, I want us to look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. You pray, and you even secretly fast, and you give up meals, and you're desperate to hear from God, and you pray with passion, you pray with commitment. We want to be known as people of prayer, don't we? This is a church of prayer. I see your prayer list 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, 7 times a week. I mean, it's a very active prayer chain. Wonderful. See, for Jehoshaphat, prayer wasn't the last chance. It was the first choice. He was far from perfect. He wasn't a perfect king if you read the whole story through the Bible. But look at his prayer here. It's in verses 5 through 12. But in verse 5 and 6, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he prayed. Now listen to his prayer. O Lord God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? God wants you to trust more. Depend more. Expect more. And there are three things you need to do when you're praying to Him. Look at verse 6. He says, are you not? Did you not? Verse 7. Are you not our God that drove out the enemy? Did you not do these things? Look at verse 12. Will you not judge these people that are coming against us? Jehoshaphat was setting a pattern for us. In verse 6, and he's saying, remind yourselves of who God is. Is there anything too hard for God? No. The answer is no. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly and he cried out, O God, are you not? Did you not? Will you not? And secondly, we should remind ourselves of what he has done. God, haven't you done this? Haven't you done that? You don't need to remind God what he's done. He hasn't forgot. You need to think, is my situation too hard for God? Is it too hard for this church? The wall looks tall. It's not easy. But with God, all things are possible. Third, you can ask him to do it again. God, I remember when you did this for me. Oh God, I do it again, Lord, do it again. I want to read to you a statement from Max Lucado. It's a quote. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long, but I just want to read a couple paragraphs. It was about 2 days after 9/11 in 2001. He wrote this article. It was widely distributed. And here's part of it. Tomorrow, we will wake up and hope we had horrible dream, but we won't. Will we, Father? What we saw was not a dream. Planes did gouge into the towers and people did perish. We thought we were safe. Perhaps we should have known better, but we didn't. So we come to you. We don't ask you for help. We beg you for it. We don't request it. We implore it. We know what you can do, Lord, and we have read the stories and we have pondered in the accounts, and now we plead, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Remember Joseph who rescued him? You rescued him from the pit? You can do the same for us. Do it again. Remember the Hebrews in Egypt? You protected their children from the death angel? We are your children too. Do it again, Lord. And Sarah, her prayers, and you heard them, and Joshua remembered his fears, and you inspired him, and the woman at the tomb, you resurrected their hope, and remember the doubts of Thomas, and you took them away. And Lord, do it again. Because of you, David went from leading sheep to leading armies. Do it again, Lord. We need counselors. We need apostles. We need leaders. Do it again, Lord. Most of all, do what you did at Calvary. What we saw there last Tuesday, you saw that Friday. Incense slaughtered. Innocence slaughtered. Goodness murdered. Women weeping. Evil dancing. The ash fell on our children. The darkness fell on your son. Give us grace that we might forgive, a faith that we might believe. Please look kindly on your church. For 2,000 years you used her for a hurting world. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. End of quote. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you thought, Lord, if you don't take care of this, Lord, I don't know if I can keep going on. Have you ever been there? See Charles thinking about that one. Have you been in a place you didn't think you could keep going? You must talk to God. You must turn your heart towards God. See, Jehoshaphat admitted that he had a need. Admit that you have a need. God doesn't help some people because they don't tell them that they need help. Did you know that? God said, you ask not, you receive not. Let me tell you, we should be desperate for God to work among us. We need help. Don't you believe that? Do we need help? I need help. You should not mind to see your leaders weep. I think it would be great to see our deacons weep. There's nothing wrong with it. Desperate to have a need met. See, a leader should not be afraid to ask for God's help. Look at verse 12. It's the last part of the prayer. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power. No power. Notice that in verse 6 he says, you have all the power. But in verse 12 he says, God, I have nothing. I have no power. It's okay to say to God, look at my insecurity. Look at my inadequacy. See, the problem is, as long as you keep saying, you know, I can solve this marriage problem, it's not going to get solved. I can break this addiction myself. No, you can't. Not very good, but I'll get with it. As long as you keep saying, I can do that, guess what? God says, be my guest. But when you say, God, help me be a better parent, a better grandparent, a better wife, a better husband, a better father. God, I need some help in my marriage. See, quit thinking about what people think about you. See, the whole world isn't sitting around wondering what you're going to be doing next. Every marriage can use a tune-up. It's the good marriages that want to get better. I could tell you stories about ours. My dear wife and I thank God for the Southern Baptist Convention of Maryland. As a pastor, we were allowed to go get some counseling. We went several times during tough times in my church and in my marriage. What was his name? Dr. Rogerson. Anybody here know Dr. Rogerson? Wonderful counselor. Anyway, he helped us a great deal, but it was God that did the work. Every marriage can be better. We can work harder. Even a strong marriage. But see, we have to come to a place that we need know that we need help. Have you ever had a need? Sure you have. You have to admit that you have a need. Number 5 here says, glance at your mountain and gaze at your Redeemer. Verse 12, again, is a great verse. And he says this, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. God, I don't know what to do, but I tell you where my eyes are. My eyes are on you, Lord. Where are your eyes this morning? New Harvest Baptist Church, who are you looking at this morning? I mean, we've come to the crossroads, this church. You're seeking a pastor. See, you know what I haven't heard in years? In any political situation, someone say, folks, this is really serious. We really need to call on God about this. You know that there was a time in our history that happened. So let's get on our knees and let's pray about this. You know what we do here? I'll fix it for you. If you elect me, I'll fix it. Ho, 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 ho. Worry about that one. When you come to the place that you say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Where are your eyes this morning? You ever ask someone how they're doing under the circumstances? I'm doing okay. That's like saying, well, under the mattress, you can't live under a mattress. You know what Corrie ten Boom said? She said, I've got two. If you look to the world, you will get distressed. If you look within, you'll get depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. Do you know she came to our church when, how old were we, Sharon? We were young, very young. First Baptist Church in Winter Haven. She stayed all week long. She taught Bible studies. And Sharon, I think you went to a couple of them. But we heard her speak. And man, I, as a very young man, I can't remember how young I was, but I was so blessed by that lady. I mean, she'd been through it. She didn't have to talk about knowing she had a need. Her sister, she loved so dearly. She held her in her arms as she passed away in the camp. See, no political party is going to save us in this election. Look at verse 15. He said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed. Why? Because of this great multitude that comes against you. Because the battle is not yours, it's God's. It's not yours, it's God's. Don't you like that? Man, we're in a battle. I'm in a battle, you're in a battle, but God, it's God's battle. Jim Clark. Where are you, Jim? You met with the builder this week. How'd that go? Don't tell us the long story. Just good or bad? Did it go well?
It went well, but it's just the beginning of a long road.
God's got the new building. Jim, don't have to run. God's got it. Dot, I say, yo, Dot, God has a new pastor. He's got it. You just do what he tells you to do. Church, New Harvest Church, you have to find God's will to reach young families. Do you know that? God wants you to reach some young families. This week, as I prayed for this church, and we stopped by and looked at the property a couple weeks ago, and I could see flyers going out in that community looking for young families. We want some young families. We want to minister to you. Not beat them over the head and try to scare the H out of them. If you can do that, then somebody else can talk it back into them. But building relationships where that ground is, that holy ground that God has given you. Building relationships with young families. And I'm going to tell you something. They desperately need your help. Just go out and sit in your car and watch for a while. That community, I think, needs your help. That's why this is all going on. You think it's about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him working in the lives of people on Little Creek Road and beyond. So you have a tremendous opportunity. Number seven, the last thing here says, trust and obey. That's the song we sing. I want you to look at verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. So he says, position yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Don't you like that? He's saying, relax, trust me, quit fretting and trying to do it yourself. Quit trying and start trusting. Kind of reminds me of a bad habit I had. Long time ago, I quit it. Do you remember that bad habit? I had a lot of them, so. My father, when he was a young man, he was an unofficial kind of a boxing champion in Baltimore County, up in the northern part of Baltimore County. Nobody, he was undefeated. Pro scouts came to get him, and my grandmother ran him off. She took a broom and ran him all the way to the car. She said, I don't want my son having a cauliflower here. But I loved boxing. And wasn't that terrible to see somebody plummet each other? When I was younger, I enjoyed boxing. I don't watch it much anymore. Because my wife, she kept telling me, do you think God wants you to watch this? But see, I'd sit on the edge of my seat on my sofa, and boy, my kids would make fun of me. They took pictures of me because I'd be in there doing this. And I was swinging, and I was fighting, and I was sweating in a 15-round fight. If it was a championship fight, I was wore out. So glad that's over. You laugh. What I did. What does God think when he watches you? Are you swinging and missing? Are you flailing all over the place like I was for nothing? Sometimes that's what we do. God says, this is not your battle. When you gave God your body, your soul, your spirit, you gave him your battle. God, this is not my church, it's your church. It's not my house, it's your house. Use it for your glory. I've given God my children. My wife has given her children. They're not all walking with the Lord like they were. But I see hope. Our prayers are being answered. Isn't it exciting when God starts to answer your prayers? And you prayed and prayed and prayed. Jehoshaphat says, I want you to stand. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. So they rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. When you're standing and trusting God and not yourself, trust this. Stand, and stand on the faithfulness and the character of God, the Almighty One. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand in Him and rest in Him. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. God's prophets don't lie. I'm positioning myself. I'm turning my heart toward God. My wife asked me not to say anything about her anymore, but I'm going to say this morning. My wife is a good example for me, especially in this. When I'm communing with Him, I'm getting alone with Him, I'm being quiet with Him, I'm getting His support, I'm trusting Him. I'm safe in His care. I'm admitting that I have a need. And here's the last one. Start praising God and thanking Him in advance. This is an incredible story here. The odds are 3-1. Three kings. They're out there on the side of this mountain, and they've got their three kingdoms there and all their battle, and they're looking at little old Judah. And they got blood. They can smell the blood. Jehoshaphat's leaders are all excited and they're fearful. And he says, we got to get a plan. We got to do something. They're fearful. And Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I have a plan. Last night, God gave me a plan. And you're going to like this plan. This is, whoa. When he had counseled the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Remember last week we were here? What did we do? We sang. Wasn't that great? And when we sing and we praise God, you know what? Satan can't be here. He can't stand it. Can't stand singing. God's. He says here, sing to the Lord. And who should praise the beauty of His holiness? And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And here's the plan. I tell you what I want you to do. When the army starts forward, you come out singing with all of your heart and all of your praise to God. You got it? People, let's just praise God. They said, why are we going to do this? King, what are you talking about? He says, when you start praising God, you get God's attention. He says, hey, that's my people down there. They need me. They're praising my name, and there's all His power and all His might, and King of kings and Lord of lords. Give Him praise. Praise and singing. As the enemy marches across the field, it takes faith to sing. Well, they got their swords out, right? Lord, I love You. Lord, I bless You. Lord, I'm standing on Your promises to deliver me from my enemies. There's power in praising. There's power in expecting. There's power in thanking. There's power in trusting God. There's victory. Look at verse 22. There's victory. Verse 22 says this. Says they started fighting each other, and they got confused. And all the enemies that come out at you, they're going to fight somebody. And God came, and He confused them. Look at verse 23 is where it really is at. It says, Ammon and Moab stood up against Seir. See, God always has a way of bringing one of their enemies along sometimes. It's easy to get them confused because Ammon and Moab got to looking at Seir and says, we don't like these people. These are our enemies. What are we doing standing next to them? And all of a sudden, everything gets confused and they're just killing each other like crazy. But they started singing in verse 26, and he says they lived in the valley of Beraka. Beraka means blessing. The valley of blessing. When you're starting a battle, you live in a valley. And we start in the valley. Why? Because God always outdoes our expectations. His valleys are valleys of blessing. God's victory in your life always causes others to take notice. I thought you were bankrupt, Joe. Oh, I got some support. I admitted I had a need. I turned my heart toward God. I started trusting God. I started obeying Him. I started giving with a joyful heart. I started praising and I started worshiping and I got close to God. And it's hard to tell you what happened, but I'm just living in the valley of blessing. People start saying, you better not mess with these Israelites because they worship Jehovah God. Don't mess with NHBC, right? Who do you worship? In fact, I think I'm going to start, if I'm here for a while longer, a series of messages on worship. But look at this is the end. Thank you for being patient. The last thing is in verse 30. And the Bible says, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. God says, I'll give you peace. You want peace? There's no peace like God's peace. The peace that passes all understanding. We got musicians come. I know we've got some music to start. We're going to sing Take My Life. Take my life. Take my church. Take my health. Take my finances. Lord, come lead us.